there. And tonight, as we do every week here on I Want to Believe, except it's every 2 weeks and I'm a liar, we're going to find the truth and we're going to bring it home with us and put it in our pocket. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course, we have the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
Hola.
And Double H.
It's right there. Truth is right there. Look at that alien. He's right there.
So
he's right behind me. Hi.
So Maria told me that the Grogu that she's got, the one that we had on camera a while back, his ears are getting worse because they were kind of misshapen as it was. So she wasn't going to buy it when we ran across it. But I was like, it's our flaws that make us unique and make us who we are. And I say that as a just to get her to buy it, because truth is, I hate my flaws. And if I could burn the impurities away, I would. But she bought it. She said the ears were getting weirder. And I told her we might have to amputate the ears. And now if you look at that Grogu doll, if you look at Grogu or Yoda as on its own, imagine it without ears. It would just look like a little old man. It would look like Bernie Sanders. It would be Bernie Sanders.
My question is, how come Yoda's eyes look different when he gets older? Baby Yoda's eyes are different than Yoda's.
I never thought about that because they're pure black, aren't they? Baby Yoda. And then when he gets older, he actually has eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Things that make you go.
Figure that out. I want to believe.
Checkmate, atheist. All right. Tonight we're gonna be talking. We got three stories for you. Plus our main topic tonight, we're gonna be talking about the Black Vault and all the information that's come out from there. This is a story that we wanted to cover about a month ago, but we missed a show, and now I barely remember any of it. So bear with us as we go through this. For all of the people listening at home at Podzilla1985.com, for the people joining us live here on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985, or if you're watching this after the fact, let's dive into it. First story, it's a very creepy story that is apparently true. And Tanner, I'm gonna hand this one off to you.
So a lot of listeners know, I've talked about it a lot. I used to work in a funeral home, and everybody always talks about having a fear of being buried alive. But honestly, in this country, it can't happen because there's things that have to happen for you to be buried. On the other hand, what happened to this woman can happen very easily. Shannon has titled this, "I'm Burning for You." In a wild story out of Argentina, a daughter mourning the loss of her mother was stunned to discover that the ailing seed was still alive mere seconds before she was set to be cremated. A shocking turn of events reportedly took place in the city of...
Good luck. I'm not gonna try to pronounce it.
Resistencia.
That's
last week, where the unnamed 89-year-old woman had been hospitalized for a few days. Upon visiting the facility one morning, her daughter was informed that she had sadly passed away from heart failure and was handed a death certificate stating as such. The woman's body was then handed over to the funeral home, where she was set to be cremated following a memorial service. However, as the daughter was saying that what she thought was her final goodbye to her mother and workers prepared the conveyor belt to send her into the incinerator, she suddenly noticed the corpse was displaying signs of life. The astounded woman quickly alerted personnel at the crematorium and managed to save her mother from a truly nightmarish demise. The undead woman was subsequently brought back to the hospital, where she is currently in the intensive care unit. And as one might imagine, her daughter is not too thrilled with the clinic, which declared her mother deceased, lambasting them for their malpractice and reporting the situation to the authorities, who now say that they plan to conduct a full investigation into the matter to determine how such a massive miscue could have happened.
So basically, 89, is that what she was? Yeah, 89-year-old woman apparently dies. They're in the funeral home. They're the crematorium. They're about to incinerate her and burn her to ashes, cremate her, when all of a sudden she shows signs of life, and they... oops, our bad is, I guess, what it equates to. Hunter, to me, this is just the scene from Scrooged, where Bill Murray is in the coffin and he's banging against the coffin as they're lowering it into the fire. There's not too many things that I'm actually afraid of in life. Like, people always tell me I'm fairly fearless. I'll jump right at opportunities. But one thing that terrifies me is death. That's the only thing that, like, truly scares me, which is unfortunate because it's also the only thing that is guaranteed to happen. But you always wonder how you're going to die. I don't think anyone ever thinks that they're going to die being almost cremated while they're still alive. But, man, What a way to go.
So,
There's Lindsay. There's Lindsay in the chat. You started a bit late, didn't you? I'll be there. Don't worry. This might be a shorter show. Yeah. Oops.
So, working at the funeral home, everybody would talk about actually, you know, being terrified of being buried alive. And unless you have, there's a few exceptions, religion being one of them. You're dead before you're put in the casket or the coffin, whatever you want to call it.
Generally, that's what you want. Yes.
Yes. That's the goal.
Mainly because of the embalming process that has to be done to be put into a casket.
Right.
So the in America, the chance of being buried alive is slim to none. This, on the other hand, can actually happen. And you hear stories about it throughout history of things like this happening. Someone who appears to be dead being slid into the crematorium and then all of a sudden screams.
Yeah.
I wish I had something really insightful to add to that, believe me. But it's just...
Yeah, no, that's...
I'm glad it didn't happen. I don't know what in particular to add to this. That is...
Well, it's not just cremation. Burying, you know, back in the old days, especially, burying people alive was such a fear that people weren't actually dead when they were, you know, pronounced dead, that they had a bell...
The bell
or a telephone put in their mm-hmm. coffins, so that way if they woke up they could, you know, call. And there have been some real good horror stories, and some of them legit, of bells ringing or the telephone going off after someone has been dead, and then when they dig the person up they're just dead, they were not alive. There have been other ones where there's stories where people, you can see the claw marks in the coffin because people were trying to get out, and boy, that's just terrifying. I would rather be cremated by accident, because that's gonna hurt, but at least it'll be over, as opposed to, like, you know, asphyxiating inside of a freaking coffin. Man, that's gotta be just the worst. Lindsay said that's why they used to put in pipes that could call up if they were buried alive. It was such a rampant problem. Now, like you said, nowadays it's not really an issue, except in cases like this where someone was almost burned alive. Fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing to add to that. That's horrifying.
Michaela,
I'm glad glad it didn't happen.
This is why you check for a pulse. Yes. But surprisingly, that can actually be misdiagnosed. Right. Some people, if your heart rate slows so much, it will look like you're dead, and it will seem like you're dead, and then that can restart. So, yeah, it's not an exact science as much as you want it to be. Kimberly Sprague says, seen that on The Nun. Was that that?
It was the bells. They had the bells in the graveyard, and they all go off.
I've actually never
watched... It's a shame that wasn't a better movie.
I've never watched The Nun. I was going to ask you if it was any good.
I'll tell you what
I was going to watch yesterday. Off a small diversion. I'm going to try to make Jesse and Shelby watch this. Me and Lindsay are going to try to make Jesse and Shelby watch this, because Shelby has apparently, who's on the show, has a huge fear of being underwater. And I want to show them the film Underwater, the Kristen Stewart film from 2 years ago. Three years ago. It's really good. And Shelby's like, no, I absolutely will not watch it. No, you're not going to get me to watch it. But then I hit her with but Cthulhu's in it. And that got her.
Well, the best way, as you know, to get your secret plan to work is to put it out on the internet.
They're not watching this.
That'll surely.
They're not watching this. Jesse,
everyone else is.
The only time Jesse ever knows that we're talking about him on the show is when Dalton snitches. So, you know. And that's true. 100% true.
Man, he's not watching this.
It's anybody. Anybody. If we talk about anybody, Dalton's the one who tells him.
Right, and Dalton's not watching this because it's too scary. he doesn't handle it very
literally well. That he's worried that homeboy's gonna move behind me. That's enough for him.
To be fair, if homeboy moved behind you, I would be scared. You know. All
right. Right, but you know it's not gonna happen.
I want to believe it's not gonna happen. All right, next story, Hunter. I'm gonna give this one to you.
I'm trying to make it move with my mind. All right, Tanner. Before we start this, I'm gonna need you to pray on this.
I'm going to pray on this.
Yeah, you're going to pray in Mantis on this.
Praying Mantis.
According to, by the way, before this starts, this story has everything. I'm going to go full Stefan on you.
This is why I wanted you to have this one, yes.
It starts with my favorite name of the week. This man's name is Paul Froggett.
Who says that an unsettling event unfolded one morning last July as he was riding his bicycle home from his job at a dog food factory in the town of Warwick, England. It was a routine trip that took a troubling turn when he, you guessed it, spotted a UFO hovering in the sky. Now, Froggett says, quote, first, I thought it must be Venus or a satellite, but it seemed much closer than either of them. He took some pictures of the anomaly, then noticed that it began rotating. It made him uneasy, like it would. So he flees the scene on his bike and winds up in a wooded area where it says he can no longer then see the object. Thinking that all this was behind him, Froggett was then disabused of the notion when he turned a corner and spotted what he could, and I'm not kidding here, quote, only describe as a humanoid praying mantis. He said it stood at least 7 feet tall, possessed a triangular head and big oval black eyes, all the features of a mantis, but it stood on two legs. Never mind the fact that mantis, well, no, I guess they're on four. But anyway, it also had a, he says, human-like shape about it, though. He stared at it in the eyes and felt as if the oddity were somehow communicating telepathically. He says, quote, my fear was replaced with completely alien thoughts of utter hatred and evil I felt projected from this thing. Eventually, somehow, he broke free of its mental grip and escaped unscathed. Unfortunately, his life has been torn asunder ever since. In addition to having difficulty sleeping at night, Froggett says he was forced to quit his job after he shared his story with his coworkers and quickly became the laughing stock of the dog food factory, which, for the record, if you're playing along at home, was the name of my funk album my sophomore year of college, the laughing stock of the dog food factory.
That's true.
Go look that up. So, yeah. It was aliens or alien. Oh,
it's,
I guess
it's a of some sort. Lindsay thinks it's Zorak. That's sure. A good guess. That's a pretty good guess.
Zorak in general.
That was the description given.
Michaela says, "I think he was high."
Probably.
Fair.
And Noah said, "Hey, it's good old Double H." So
it is.
It
yes,
is. Hey, hey. The Double H stands for hey, hey.
That's what we determined a long time ago. Yeah, but no, this story has everything. It's got Froggett. It's got the dog food factory. It's got a humanoid praying mantis. It has telepathy of alien evil thoughts. It don't get much better than that.
To steal something from Cody real quick, to pull the curtain back for a second, Tanner and I were going over these stories before the show, and we're picking out which ones to do. And I told Tanner I want to do this story, and his response was literally, "Why? Why are we doing this story?" And
that was absolutely my response.
That's why.
Yeah, that's it. I said, like, this is the kind of story I live for, man. This is like so. Yeah. Because we'll debate on this show a lot of whether or not we think something is real or whether it could have happened, how plausible it
Sometimes
is.
Sometimes we need to all be on the same page.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I said, this is one story that all of us, none of us are going to go, but, well.
Right.
Well.
Well.
Yeah. I love this story. And this is one of those stories that it... Whenever I'm trying to convince people that, you know, why would someone make this up? It's one thing to say, oh, I saw a UFO or I saw a ghost, and to go, right. Like to say it out loud and to tell people that. It's another to say I saw a 7 foot tall praying mantis and to not only
who
tell
projected his hatred
his
into my
evil,
mind.
Evil thoughts. And not only to tell that to like your friends and family, but to tell it at your workplace. The dog food factory.
And have to quit your job because they won't quit making fun of you. That's my favorite part. Well, why he's putting in resumes other places and like, well, why did you leave the dog food factory?
Why'd you leave the dog food factory?
Can we really not get into that today? I'd rather not tell that story.
Well, we are gonna call your former place of work for a reference. Could you not?
All right.
You know,
all right, look. There was this mantis alien, right? And okay, and I'm fired.
I'm not getting this job, okay. Am I? Okay. Well,
this is not going well.
You had to add this story. We had one story of a ghost that was on video. We had another story of a
haunted. They got one on video.
Supposed ghost.
We're done.
Supposed ghost on camera. One about a haunted baby carriage, and he's going to add the mantis. Okay.
Yeah, because
I only want to do the one about the baby carriage if it was being pushed by Janosch from Ghostbusters 2,
dressed as the school mom. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, that's horrifying.
That
used to give me nightmares as a kid.
I know you guys at home are wondering, like, can we get back to talking about the Mantis? Let's pretend for a second there's nothing else to say about it, that we've pretty much mined that for all it's worth. Let's for a second talk about Ghostbusters 2 and how that movie legitimately scared me as a child. Between Janosch dressed as the as the school marm or whatever it is, the nurse, and the
hands reaching up out of the slime.
Oh, the hands reaching out of the slime. The heads on the pike and the train system. The subway system, yep. The Titanic landing, and all the ghosts walking off of it. That
scared me.
That movie was legit scary. Like,
that second movie was horrifying, man.
Yeah, the first Ghostbusters is the better film. We've talked about this before. It's the better movie.
Yes.
But the second one, they ramped it up a lot. I love Ghostbusters 2. I'm excited for Ghostbusters 3, the actual Ghostbusters 3. Did you see the new ghost from it? Muncher, I think is what he's called.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like a nice ghost. He's a friendly ghost.
Yeah. I'm down, man. I was reading a thing, since we're on this aside, earlier today, yesterday, from Tanner. You don't get to talk, because if somebody died, I don't want to hear it.
Somebody's about to die.
Shannon's got this one.
Because Michaela just said, I was just going to say, I've never seen Ghostbusters.
Oh, no, hang on. We've talked about this. You can't give people a hard time for not having seen something. Rather than, you know, oh, you're never making them feel bad, you got to go, you're in for a treat.
It's true.
You're in for a treat. Have not seen it. I have to do this on a daily basis where I spend my days. I have to do this.
I feel like we need to
host the.
Okay, Cody's the joke, though.
We have to. Well, yeah.
Oh, we retired the bit.
Oh, we did.
I retired the bit. Yeah. I haven't done it in a long time.
I have not spoken to Cody in years, so I don't know if we still do the bit or not.
He legitimately got to, I don't know if you knew this, but he got to see it at that drive-in, that rock and roll drive-in back in October, and it was so cool. And then there was something else that I went, all right, this is it, Cody. I'm retiring the bit. I can no longer deny that you've seen it, because you've seen it in a way that I haven't, and I'm super jealous because I didn't get to go down there and do that then.
We'll always have that one intro.
Oh, man.
Ghostbusters. It's free Ghostbusters, it's free Cody.
Ghostbusters for you, Cody.
Unfortunately, Ghostbusters Afterlife was pushed back to fall.
Yeah. It's pushing in November, though. Man. It's very close to our anniversary, because our anniversary is on the 19th. I think it is like the 11th. It's pretty close to it.
Like me and... Like, oh, you and your wife. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Clarification.
But I was going to say, I was reading a thing. I didn't get to read all of it. I just skimmed it. But Ernie Hudson had said that Winston is a full character as of this movie. Now, don't get me wrong, he had plenty to do, obviously, in the first and second movies, but he never really gets that full development as a character because so much of his part in one was cut out. Yeah. And they said in Afterlife, he really kind of just gets to come full circle and really be fully developed. So I'm really excited about that. I don't know if you can tell, but the one boxed one I have back here is Winston. Winston's always been my favorite.
Winston...
He's hiding back there somewhere.
Winston, my second favorite. Obviously, my first favorite is Egon. He always has been. As weird as it is, Dr. Venkman actually is the lowest on my ranking for Ghostbusters. You too?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's important, obviously, as a character and for the narrative and all that, but he might be the funniest, but he's not my favorite.
Right. I agree. All right. Well, that was a good talk about Ghostbusters. I appreciated that.
Yeah, good time.
Good times. Did you see the ad? Did you see the ad today with Mike Myers and Dana Carvey back as Wayne and Garth for Uber Eats or something like that?
A teaser.
No.
Yeah, it was a teaser. It was a teaser for a commercial. For a
commercial
for the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Last story before we talk about the Black Vault. Assuming we don't go off on any other tangents here. This
good
one.
Good luck.
I call this one Judgment Day. I got a lot to say about it. As I've talked about before on this show many, many times, one of my legitimate fears is the coming robo-apocalypse, where if you've seen Terminator, which, Michaela, I'll explain it to you real quick, Terminator is about a future where a self-aware defense program called Skynet it takes over the world, it causes a nuclear holocaust, and then they try to stop it by going back in time to, well, the Resistance is trying to stop it, and they send what's called a Terminator back in time to kill the mother of the leader of the Resistance. It gets kind of complicated after that. Don't worry about it. Point is that in the future, the machines have taken over, and we are all boned. So
subjugated.
And you would think, well, that will never happen, right? That will never happen. Well, the past 4 years have shown us that anything can happen that we thought wasn't going to happen. And when it comes to technology, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but we literally rely on it all the time. Everything is automated. Everything is digital. There, we have nothing. If the machines turn on us, we are all screwed. And not only is that going to happen eventually, but we're really rushing it forward. Here's the story. Since being unveiled in 2016, Sophia, a humanoid robot, has gone viral. Now the company behind her has a new vision to mass produce robots by the end of the year. Think about that. Hanson Robotics, based in Hong Kong, said four models, including Sophia, will start rolling out of factories in the first half of 2021, just as researchers predict the pandemic will open new opportunities for the robotic industry. David Hanson, who is the chief executive of the group, says the world of COVID-19 is going to need more and more automation to help keep people safe. That's what Skynet said, man. Hanson believes robotic solutions to the pandemic are not limited to healthcare, but could assist the customers in industries such as retail and airlines, too. He says, Sophia and Hanson robots are unique by being so human-like. That can be so useful during these times where people are terribly lonely and socially isolated. Hanson said he aims to sell thousands of robots in 2021, both large and small, without providing a specific number. Now, if you don't remember who Sophia is, let me pull up a link real quick.
Tanner's picture of her, at least.
Oh, you got a picture you can put in the Discord?
Yeah.
Okay. She is shockingly lifelike, assuming Tanner ever actually puts it up.
I'm trying, man.
I'm working on it.
Discord said my file was too powerful.
There we go. That's Sophia there, not the dude. The dude is some dude. That's Sophia. it clearly looks like
a robot. How do you know? You don't know. Maybe the dude is also.
It's clearly a robot. I mean, you could tell. It's got the head thing going and the arms. But here's the thing. I've seen pictures of this kind of reworked a little bit where they have a wig on her and they have her in clothing where you can't see the arms and stuff. And because she has adaptable AI and she's always learning, she can literally carry on conversations with you. And the more real, because this is a first run robot, the more realistic they get over time, it's going to probably be difficult to discern who is a person and who is an android of some sort. And if this isn't just every science fiction movie that warned against it, I don't know what is. Sophia specifically because I don't know if you know this, Hunter, but this robot Sophia is the only non-human entity to be given citizenship. She actually...
No, I didn't.
It's not in America. It is... Where is it?
Saudi.
Was it Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Wow, Saudi Arabia gives robots more rights than it gives actual women. Good for you.
I felt that one coming. They earned that.
Deserve it. But
yeah,
they bestowed citizenship on her. And during a press conference when they were going over this, they specifically asked her, you're not going to kill humans. You're not going to destroy humans, are you? Just say no. And she replied, okay, then I'll destroy all humans. Come on, man. We're literally designing our death here. We're designing our new overlords. And man, the more we rely on technology and the closer we get to technology just taking over everything we do, the more dangerous it's getting. Because if these machines did become self-aware, I don't know, I sound like a crazy person, but they were crazy when they were saying there's no way Donald Trump can win the election. Well, is there no way?
Oh, not the same argument. Not the same argument. That's one, not the same thing.
One might be a little bit more ridiculous than the other. Trump winning the presidency was way more ridiculous than a robot killing humanity.
I know this is all the bit. I get it.
Okay.
But
thank you. Thank
realistically, you. Too, she's not connected to anything.
No, right? No. This I'm just
literally an autonomous. Just
yeah. I'm just joking around. I'm just hashing you. But I do have a legitimate fear that not necessarily that these robots are going to like rise up and kill us all, because I think that is a little outlandish. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see a future like the Terminator, but at the same time, I think that relying on machines as much as we are in every aspect of our life, if the it's the old saying, if the grid goes down, I mean, what's going to happen to us? If we lost it, like, civilization would be lost.
While that all is very much true, and this does not mitigate that, I mean, I think it's important to really hone in on the article pointing out that, you know, in you've been hearing this for the better part of a year, in these unprecedented times, we're in that scenario now where we need as much or as little contact, I guess I should say, as possible. And so automating leads to a lot of that. So right now we're seeing a strong increase in what can we do to automate? What can we do to keep people from having to be in contact with each other and possibly spread this, you know, pandemic. And if we end up, God forbid, with more and more of these things becoming more commonplace and more common, more regular in general, we're going to just have to. We're gonna have to bite the bullet on that and just be prepared for a lot of automation. I mean, there's what else can we do in those scenarios?
My fear though is that they won't stop at that. Like the human nature to constantly go forward and push and push and push and see how far you can go. And I truly believe that at some point they will push the technology so far to see what they can do that we could create something that will turn against us. Like, you know, again, I say, oh, it's ridiculous that'll never happen. But if you go back and look at how advanced technology has become just in the past 60 years, look where we were 60, 70 years ago versus where we are now. I mean, it's like night and day. Where are we going to be in another 30, 40 years, 50 years? You know, where does it stop? Where today we have these automated machines who are lifelike that can help out on the front lines of like healthcare and stuff like that. At what point do we turn that into something for the military? Where we have, you know, I mean, we already have drones. We already have automated weapons. But could they mass produce soldiers like this? Right now, I'd say no, obviously not. But 50, 60 years, we have no idea. And at what point, if you create something, you know, it's the old Isaac Asimov stuff. If they're prime directives or what have you, at some point, if they become self-aware and decide that it's in their best interest to turn against us, how would we stop it? Because we are literally connected to everything. It's dangerous. Well,
for what it's worth, this is why we have laws and such in place of those things. We have the Geneva Convention is not what I'm going for here, but we have those sort of agreements, international agreements of we're not going to create things that lead to that point. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the most cynical among us will then immediately go, yeah, OK, they say that on paper, but they're definitely doing it behind closed doors. But that's the thing. Even if they are doing it behind closed doors, they can't implement it without running the same risk themselves. Mm-hmm. It becomes the same thing as nuclear armament. It's mutually assured destruction. If anyone goes in on one element of it, then they all run the risk of that being a problem. So I feel like that's I was having this discussion recently with somebody about cloning. It's kind of in the same boat, human cloning. The first time that anyone actually goes in on it, there's no closing that door. And I don't think that door is going to open for that very same purpose. Now, I will say, going back to your point from earlier, that we probably got closer to those things than ever in the past, what, 4 or 5 years, basically. Mm-hmm. People just doing everything they can to push the boundaries of where can we go this far at this right. point. So I'm not saying it's out of the question. I'm just saying at the very least, it's nice to know that for now, we have safeguards in place for those kinds of things. I just wrapped my knuckles on my desk. I just knew that had to be really loud.
But the other hand, I this is what I'm thinking about. If something like that was to happen, robots, we have come up with this AI technology and they were to turn on us. Honestly, we deserve it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically any of those things that happen. Now, the only thing about that is who's we? You know, right. I mean, humanity as a whole, right. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, because the average person didn't decide this. Kaz is talking about it in the chat here. He said, you know, on the flip side, automation is a natural next step. It could also automate us into not needing to toil working job, base level service jobs. And if people get past their bias and political nonsense, we can turn our sights toward advancement and less stagnation. And like, I get that. But you also have to think of how many people are going to be, if that comes true, because that is a legitimate fear now, automation when it comes to base level jobs and deliveries and stuff like that. How many people are going to be, you know, out of the job? They're going to be misplaced because now they, you know, there was a good John Oliver piece about it a while back where he talked about the people that don't have degrees or don't have that kind of education to work in the field of technology or robotics. So, you know, your truck drivers, your base level employees, if automation takes over, they are just going to be out of the job completely. We're going to see either you're going to have to go back to school and learn something new. And for some people at their ages and stuff, that's probably not an option. You're going to see a lot of people going out of business and maybe going homeless. I don't know. Automation is the next natural step because the one thing that everyone in power wants is they want to make as much money as possible. So if it's cheaper to build these machines to do these jobs as opposed to paying people to do it, and especially if the machines can do it better, that's absolutely what they're going to do. And I don't think it matters how many people they put out of business because it's their bottom dollar. Automation is a scary subject. It's a very scary subject. If we can repurpose those people into jobs in the industry where, you know, there was the old fear that people that worked in a bank, if ATMs came in, that they would lose their jobs because now the machines are doing the jobs for them. But like, I think I saw a piece on that too. Maybe it also was John Oliver where it talked about how the bank tellers can now focus on other things more important and let the ATMs take care of the small basic things. So if we do it right, I think it would be a good thing. The problem is I'm waiting for that like one guy that is way smarter than everybody else and maybe doesn't have the John Hammond, if you will, and doesn't have the sense to not do it. It's that Jeff Goldblum. You wanted to see if you could. You didn't think about if you should. I'm waiting for that one guy to do something that could potentially hurt everyone else. And I think his name is Elon Musk. I'm not positive. I think it's as close as we've got.
Well, I was going to say Bezos, but really, I mean, the only thing he's automated is his warehouses, and he still has to have people to go around and run and do his stuff on the warehouse floors.
And that's not going well.
I don't know that he's doing any more. Yeah, I don't know that he's doing any more automation than Elon is. I mean, the other, I don't want to say flip side, but another point that has to be taken into account, too, is that, you know, you talked about we move toward that and have them work in synergy like bank tellers and ATMs. There's also a discussion to be had about some things moving toward automation and using the people who are displaced to be the supervisors for those automatons, because in a lot of cases you need people now who understand that job to oversee the automated portion of it to make sure it's working properly.
Yeah.
Maybe not as many people, don't get me wrong. And I'm not necessarily advocating for more and more automation, depending on which, you know, field we're talking about. There's so many different ways you can use that. But usually in those cases, you still need at least one or two, you know, you got to have a human element in there somewhere is what it comes down to. This is a really rudimentary example, but the self checkout at Walmart or anywhere really for that matter, you've always got at least one human element there, one person there who's able to, you know, if you're buying alcohol, they can check your ID rather than trying to do that automatically somehow. If, you know, something doesn't ring up properly, they're there to fix it. So while it's not as many people as you would have had in all those checkout lines, you still have that human component. There's still somebody there. And the question is, will we ever be able to fully get away from that? And should we?
We should not. Like, I think when you take the human element out of it, it creates
right.
a whole new risk. You know, like, let's say, I mean, this is worst case scenario. I absolutely don't believe this would actually happen. But if we had an automated self-defense program like Skynet, you know, I keep bringing up Skynet. It's the best thing I could think of, where it has access to nuclear weapons or weapons of some sort. And maybe not even that it turns against humanity. What if there's just a glitch in the system? What if something just goes wrong and it could possibly launch nuclear weapons at another country or missiles or whatever? You would hope to believe that there is a human element that would be there to shut it down or to, you know, in some way stop the potential apocalypse. I don't think we'll ever get to a point where they go, okay, having it run itself entirely is fine. We've worked out all the bugs, because if technology has ever taught me anything, is that you will never work out all the bugs. There is always something new.
Right. And that's why I'm not, I guess, personally as concerned about the extra over-the-top automation, because you're always going to have that. Anyone even remotely reasonable is going to have at least that one human component there to make those decisions that just really can't be. Even the most sophisticated AI that could even get to replicating that level is light years away.
Right.
So here's my issue with it. Like, I'm, because I'm an avid user of self-checkout at Walmart. But that's an anxiety thing. That's just, you know, I don't like dealing with people. But I also understand that people need jobs. So go to a McDonald's, for example, and a McDonald's regularly has 30 plus people employed for all their shifts. Say McDonald's goes completely automated self-checkout at the counters. That cuts out probably 15 plus people of needing to be there to down to one per shift. So, I mean, that's just cutting the jobs. Like, I understand at some point in time, we need to start moving forward with technology, but at the same time, I think going fully automated at a lot of places, even if you do just need the one person, that one human element there is going to end up hurting us economically.
Well, it could hurt us economically, but it won't hurt the people that are in charge of the McDonald's or the people that are in charge of the Walmart, because they're going to make more money.
Those people don't matter. I mean, no matter what.
Just to put the other side of that out there, not that, again, advocating, and I don't want to be devil's advocate, don't get me wrong, but I'm just trying to clarify. The idea behind that they would try to, the public face of trying to sell that would then be, we can produce the things we were producing for less expensive, less of a cost to you, the consumer. Mm-hmm. You know, the average price of meal goes back down to $5 or something rather than whatever it is now, $7 or $8, because it can be done cheaply and efficiently, and it's done exactly the same way every single time. If they can promise that, that's how it'll be sold. It won't be sold as we're going to start cutting, you know, 40, 50, 60% of our workforce. It'll be sold as, when you come through the drive-through lane, your meal is going to be $4, $5, $6 less than it used to be, and that's all it'll take.
And everybody
of course they're going to get on board with that. Will there be people that will be against it? Yeah, so obviously, absolutely. But at the end of the day, is it really going to stop people coming through when A, they're already kind of addicted to it? That's a whole other discussion. And B, is it going to be less expensive? Can they afford to do that? Even the same people who are getting cut now, you know, hey, you may have to find a job elsewhere that pays less, but at least your quarter pounder is going to be a couple bucks less.
Kaz said in the chat, what if something goes wrong with the machine? What if something goes wrong with the human? And he pointed out people like Donald Trump, and to a much greater extent, Hitler and Mussolini and people like that. That's a valid point, because humans can be just as evil. I think the thing that worries me most is when a human does something, they're motivated by something. Greed, power, they're still human. If a machine does it, there is no sympathy. There's no room for anything other than, you know, numbers. So
yeah,
I think that if a human, assuming that someone is stopping the human, that we have other people there that can stop the human, I think that's different than if you have a rogue AI system that suddenly decides humans are the enemy and wants to wipe them out. But again, we're pretty far away from that point. My fear is that we will continue to push the envelope till we get to that point, and we'll keep talking about it. So let's wrap that one up. We can talk about that all night, but at some point we have to get to the main point, because I got about 10 minutes left. So let's talk about the Black Vault real quick, Tanner. Tell us about the Black Vault.
You're the one who told me about it. You talk about it.
So the Black Vault, and you can go to theblackvault.com, I believe is the website.
We've got it. Hang on, I'll reshare it again here.
All right. It's
like three messages up, man. It's cool.
It's three Androids up. To be fair.
To be fair.
You can. So basically, this guy has gotten this information from the government and through FOIA, and has photocopied every page and posted it online. It's allegedly the CIA's entire back catalog of UFO investigations and stuff like that. And most of them are debunked, but there are quite a few that are legitimate head scratchers. And if you have any interest at all in UFOs and what our government is doing about it, highly recommend you go to theblackvault.com and check some of these out. A lot of it's redacted because Freedom of Information Act doesn't mean you get all the information. You just get what they will allow you. That's not... And some of, I mean, they have to do it for nation security. You know, like some of that stuff you can't put in there because of national security. You don't want to put anybody at risk. But a lot of it makes you wonder of why so much of it's redacted. When you get a letter of, okay, we're investigating this particular case, the government is, the CIA is, and of that, you know, full page, you have maybe one or two lines that aren't completely blacked out. It makes you wonder what they're still hiding. This goes in pretty well with there was something kind of stuffed into the COVID Relief Act that passed a couple of weeks ago at this point with the $600 stimulus that we got, where the government has 180 days to prepare to release all the information that they have on UFOs and what's the new version of it? Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, UAPs.
UAPs, yeah.
So 2021 could be the year that everything comes out, that all cards are on the table. What that means, I don't know, but it could be the most monumentous year in UFO study, which it's a shame that our good friend, who we've never met or talked to at all, Larry King, passed away, because we were reading about this earlier, that Larry King, apparently, I didn't know this, I guess I missed a lot of his earlier stuff. I didn't know Larry King until much, much later when he was on CNN, and most of the stuff I watched was political, or at the time, a lot of it was Hollywood, because, you know, I was into Hollywood at the time. But he did a lot of interviews with UFO investigators. I know Stanton Friedman had been on the show. I myself interviewed Stanton Friedman once. It was very fascinating. He was a fascinating guy. And Larry King was a big advocate for this. I don't know if he was a believer, but he was interested in it. So it's a shame that he passed away before 2021 happened. Well, you know, before the important stuff happens. Well, not that the election and inauguration wasn't important, but UFOs. That's what's really important to me. Right, so
just get back to that.
Aliens. And if you want
to
get ahead.
Also, to be fair, this website does mention everything paranormal. So it's not just aliens, but that's the important thing right now.
Kaz, you said 2021 is the year we discover we are alone in the universe. I hope you don't actually believe that. Because like I feel like you would have to be extremely cynical to think that there is no other life anywhere in the universe. I've had this discussion before with people. Like, do I personally believe that aliens and UFOs have visited planet Earth? Highly unlikely, just based on the science that we know. But I mean, again, that's the science that we know. Doesn't necessarily mean we know it all. We obviously do not. But to think that there is nothing out there in a vast sea of stars and planets, I think that's a little cynical. Oh, he didn't mean it. Okay, never mind. Take everything I just said, brush it away. But say, because I know Kaz.
That's the hotter. Right now, that's the hotter take, to be like, nah, there's nothing out there. That's not. Well, this is. It's not happening.
So I'm the kind of guy, and I know we're talking about the Black.
Those are the ones everybody looks at all crazy now.
Again, blackvault.com. If you want to check these out, we're going to talk about UFOs in general. Maria says they lock the doors they pass Earth. I would roll the window up. I'm someone that used to believe in UFOs hardcore. Like that's what, before I was even into like ghosts, I was into UFOs because I remember sitting at home back in Hudsonville, back in Southern Illinois, and watching out my window and seeing lights that I could not explain. I've seen things that I can't explain, but it took me years upon years to realize that just because I can't explain it doesn't mean that it's extraterrestrial in origin. I used to believe in the Phoenix Lights. I used to, you know, a lot of things. And I do believe that these things happened, but I don't necessarily believe that they are alien in origin anymore. I think there is an on-Earth explanation for it. And the UFOs that are, you know, this information that's coming out about UFOs and UAPs, I'm very interested in it, not because I think this will prove the existence of aliens, because I believe that until aliens literally land, you know, on television, we see them coming down from space and landing, and they come out and talk to us a la Mars Attacks. I don't think you're ever going to prove to anyone that aliens exist, even if you have evidence, you have videos and whatnot. But what I do hope is that maybe it will shed some light on these things that our military and our pilots are seeing that they can't explain. Technology that we don't have, and as far as we know, nobody else on Earth possesses. And if a foreign country has this technology and they're using it to spy or invade our airspace, that is something that we need to know. That is 100% a national security alert, and we need to know these things. So I am curious to see where this year goes.
I don't want to take this too far out because I know we got to wrap it up. But at the same time, and I know I've mentioned, if not this, something similar to it. Let's say, hypothetically, that is the case. You say we need to know this as a national security alert. Who would need to know that would be learning it now who doesn't already know? That's my legitimate question.
That's
because, you know, it would be nice for us to know, sure, but this is kind of the same mentality as, you know, I need this assault rifle to protect my home. Well, are you sure? What are you going to do with that?
Well,
same goes in a way for this sort of information.
Do you think it could be a case of people, maybe they asked enough questions and they've bothered it enough that they've said, okay, we're going to reveal these things just to get people to stop talking about it? Because I think there's a lot of power. There's a lot of power in mystery. You know, when people don't know what's happening, they will create the stories themselves. So, and that could lead to something terrible. We know from the past couple of years and the past couple of weeks and months that when you create a false narrative and you get enough people to believe it, it can lead to dangerous results. So maybe the government, it decided to head them off at the pass. They got in contact with Tom DeLonge from Blink-182, true story, and they decided to release all this information as a way, because it won't prove anything. So that's the thing. It's like my hopeful side says, okay, well, thanks to things like the Black Vault and this information that's coming out and to the Stars Academy, we will find the proof that I've always been looking for the existence of extraterrestrials, but it's not going to do that. But it could maybe shut the people up that could possibly become dangerous in their pursuit of the quote unquote truth. That's I think is their motive, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's also a question of I hate to end this kind of on a question, but what if it's not that interesting? What if it's just, yeah, they were here. They came by. They're, you know, we don't know if we'll ever see them particular again. They're fairly similar to us and they didn't really have any new tech that we didn't have. You know, they got here on a lucky draw. We've not been able to reverse engineer anything they had because it's not any more sophisticated than what we had. They just kind of crashed in. If we were to send something out, you know, a manned craft out into space that somehow managed to re-entry on another planet long since after the things that were on it were dead, what if they arrived dead? What if this is something that came from light years away, landed, crashed, again, survived reentry enough that we were able to take something from it, but go, yeah, we don't know what to do with this. We can't tell you what this is. They were dead before they got here.
I think just knowing that there's something else out there, just knowing, even if it's disappointing,
that'd be enough.
Would be enough. Yeah. For me, it would.
That's fair.
And it's one of those things that I wish my mother were still alive because she and I saw a lot of those lights together. She always backed me up and corroborated my story so that way I didn't feel like I was a complete, you know, nut job. I would like to know. Even if it's boring, I would like to know.
That's fair.
And I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I think it's a good place to stop. Questions upon questions. We're going to get out of here. Want to thank you guys for tuning in, for joining us live here on the Facebooks and asking questions and commenting in the chat. We always love when you guys, you know, hang out with us. We love your questions. We love your comments. It not only do we appreciate it because, you know, it means that someone cares enough to do it, but then it also gives us material to stall with if ever we hit a lull. So thank you guys very much. Hunter, tomorrow, PZ85 plays. We got another episode.
Yeah, we do. If you haven't heard, it is the final, guaranteed now, final installment of Episode 4, Echoes of the Jedi. The last time that you guys heard from us last week, our party had run afoul of Inquisitor Valen Draco. I couldn't get his name. Yeah, Draco was the last name, and it was throwing me off. And so, I mean, I don't think it's any big surprise. We're starting with combat. We're probably going straight through that. Through the bulk of the episode, so it's going to be a combat heavy episode, which is nice because now you can actually see what's going on.
What's that, Tanner?
You were long since dead, Tanner. Don't worry about that,
Tanner. Tanner, you already died. You were already a Force ghost. It's crazy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Final
got 21 hit points.
and I keep saying episode, final installment.
Right.
It's an episode for you guys of Episode 4, Echoes of the Jedi. As a side note of this, when we end this, our heroes or whoever's left are all going to get their prestige classes. So either the heroes you've known up to this point or the new people that they'll be creating to continue the story. But yeah, moving up to prestige classes, the second iteration of leveling up and getting a little more specific as to who they are. So we'll see who makes it tomorrow night.
That's a hook if I ever heard one. Wednesday, Pro Wrestling Unscripted is back. Ace and Dalton. I might even sit in on this one because I did watch the Royal Rumble and I have a lot of thoughts. I also thought it was good overall. I have some thoughts. Some I like, some I didn't like. Spoiler alert, if you're not going to tune in to Pro Wrestling Unscripted, I'll just say it right now. Edge and Christian hugging in the ring is probably going to be my moment of the year in any capacity. I could get married next month. And one, I'd be very surprised. And two, it still wouldn't equal up to watching Edge. When they hugged, like, I had tears in my eyes. I 100% did. That was amazing. I loved it. We'll talk about that this Wednesday on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thursdays After Dark, I'm actually going to write out some topics so we're not just, like, trying to think of things on the spot. Because last time we did it, you know, we kind of bounced all over the place. I think we've got a top five about the Golden Girls. I didn't really get to look into it much. I just saw Golden Girls appear.
I'll help Lindsay on this. She had a couple of options, and one of them, the one that I was like, I'm not going to be around for this, but I think this would be really interesting. You have to recast the Golden Girls with four new actresses who all have to be at least in their 60s.
That is a good
one. Who are they?
That is a good one. I like that. Also, I forgot. I do have something for this Thursday. Shannon Young. The past year, Shannon Young has gone through more probably than he's gone through his entire life, and I learned a lot of lessons, and I've learned a couple things. I'm going to share with you this Thursday my list of life lessons that I've learned that I want to pass on to you guys so you don't make the same mistakes I do, and maybe you get a little bit more out of life than I did. That's this Thursday. And then Friday, of course, it's horse time. We don't have a topic.
For you, not for me.
Hunter,
not
this time. It's always horse time. Even if you're not it's still horse time. I might just put a picture of you in the window and just like
light a candle right beside it and leave it on.
I'll just have a soundboard where I go, "Isn't that right, Hunter?" And I hit a button and it just goes, "Well.
Well.
Well."
It's just rapping Ronnie Reagan.
You do that, and then whoever didn't listen to this show tonight is gonna jump on there, see that, and be really scared about what happened.
Hunter's gonna start hardcore on Miami again. That's the problem.
Chickens.
All right, that's gonna do it for us tonight, guys. Thanks for tuning in for I Want to Believe. We'll see you guys tomorrow with another PZ85 plays. We love you very much, and as always, Hunter, we want to remind everybody, keep watching those skis.
Got it.
Later.